Conspiracy theories can aid revolutions, break down negotiations, destroy alliances, and lead countries to institute bad or totally misguided policies. By conspiracy theory, I mean, quote, false theories and beliefs which ascribe excess malevolent intentionality and exaggerated power. It can be hard to draw generalizations about conspiracy theories. The work in these areas is highly interdisciplinary. A lot of the results are context-dependent. There's really not very much in the way of cross-cultural study, and the very notion of a conspiracy theory is hard to measure, because if people really do hold conspiracy theories, and you send around a pollster to ask them, well, they might just think the pollster is part of the conspiracy, and it's very hard to get at what they actually believe, because what they will be willing to tell you may be something, of course, quite different. Nonetheless, let's take a look at what we do seem to know. Conspiracy theories are so common, so frequent, one might say so universal, so readily believed because of at least three fundamentals of human nature. The first fundamental has to do with the extreme sensitivity of human intelligence to social information. So when there's a phenomenon from the natural world, such as thunder or lightning, it's not uncommon for untutored individuals to believe that there is somehow human intent behind this thunder or lightning. Of course, this is a kind of scientific mistake, but it is our human propensity to look for intent and to see intent too readily when even it's not there, and this informs our understanding of conspiracy theories. They are mistaken, but they're the kind of mistakes we're actually somewhat programmed to make. The psychological evidence on anthropomorphism suggests that it's most likely and most frequent precisely when individuals are motivated by a desire for social contact. By the way, if on the slides I'm putting up the name of a book or article, I'm using that as suggested further reading. The second aspect of human nature, which makes us especially prone to conspiracy theorizing, is what is sometimes called fundamental attribution error. For instance, if we see an individual slipping and falling, we too readily assume that individual is a clumsy person by his or her very nature, rather than looking to accidental features of the environment, such as a banana peel having been left on the stairs. In the international arena, this means when we observe an outcome, we tend to attribute that outcome to very fundamental personality features of the underlying agents, individuals, or nation-states. We're less likely to say, oh, that was an accident, or that was an unintended consequence of human action, even when that is very likely to have been the case. A third core feature of this setting is what is sometimes called anti-Americanism, although I think it can be explained in more fundamental terms. I'm reminded of a quotation from Jonathan Swift, the 18th century Irish writer and theologian, and Swift said something like, "Censure is a tax which a man pays to the public for the privilege of being eminent." In other words, if you are eminent, you will be noticed and you will be condemned. The United States, of course, in the global arena, is eminent. Some people hate the United States, some people love the United States, some people are indifferent, but overall it means the United States will be condemned and the United States will be the subject of conspiracy theories. When you put this together with our tendency to anthropomorphize and the fundamental attribution error, and the eminence of the United States on the global arena, you have an environment rife for lots of conspiracy theorizing. Let's now consider some more specific evidence about where we're likely to find conspiracy theorizing and where we're maybe not so likely to find it, and I'm going to go through this in two parts. First, I'm going to look at the relatively reliable quantitative evidence, noting that a lot of that quantitative evidence is set in the United States rather than in foreign countries. I'll then look at what we know about some foreign countries, noting that is largely qualitative evidence. Fortunately, to some extent, as we will see, the quantitative and the qualitative evidence point in some broadly similar directions. We're going to see, for instance, that one broad predictor of conspiracy theorizing is what is sometimes called anomie or alienation or rootlessness or a weakness of some basic norms in society. There's an interesting paper by Ted Gertzahl, and it's based on U.S. data, and here's what he finds as the best predictors of belief in conspiracy theories. They are lack of interpersonal trust, insecurity about employment, conspiracy theories are more likely among minorities, and he finds that belief in one conspiracy tends to predict belief in another. We can think of these as some baseline variables which tend to matter in a lot of different cases. In general, turmoil and insecurity tend to predict belief in conspiracy theories. There's another interesting paper called Beliefs in Conspiracies. It's also based on quantitative U.S. data, and it finds the best predictors are anomy, holding to the value of authoritarianism, a sense of powerlessness, and low self-esteem. These are broadly consistent with the Goertzahl results. As you might expect in academic work, it's often easiest to study college students because they're right there at hand, and it's relatively easy to find out what they think, or at least what they pretend to think. There's a good paper by Gene Twenge called It's Beyond My Control. It's a study of U.S. college students. And what is it that predicts their belief in conspiracy theories? Well, it's poor school achievement, sense of helplessness, ineffective stress management, decreased self-control, and a general sense of depression. The data on African Americans are also interesting. This paper finds that conspiracy believers actually tend to have more education. You can think of the education as maybe giving you some tools for formulating an effective conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theories among African Americans are more common among those who are politically evolved, and also more common among those who are closer to integrated settings and who are more likely to have non-African American friends. The individuals who just sit squarely in homogeneous communities and stay there and don't have that much contact with the outside world, those individuals actually tend to believe less in conspiracy theories, it seems. But as I said, that's only for the United States, so let's shift gears and consider some issues from the broader world. Some essential reading here is a book by Matthew Gray called Conspiracy Theories in the Arab World, which is about exactly what the title claims. There's also a very good lecture by Matthew Gray on the same topic on YouTube. Either write down the link on the slide or simply enter his name into YouTube and you'll get there. Well, what does Gray tell us? And again, note that here we are moving to the qualitative data. These ideas are the result of Gray having spent a lot of time studying nations and cultures in the Middle East and putting together a lot of different sources in terms of a mental model, but it's not quantitatively measurable in the way some of the previous results were. Anyway, he finds that conspiracy theories are most common amongst scapegoated minorities when there's mass marginalization in society. He finds it's especially common when there's a feeling of relative decline in a society. In general, it seems to be the case that in a lot of the Middle East, there actually are more conspiracies, not necessarily brought on by the United States, but in places where conspiracies are more common, it hardly seems like a surprise if people living in those areas are more likely to believe in conspiracies from the outside. Another factor seems to be that new ideologies are weak when conspiracy theories are especially common. The state itself often promotes conspiracy theorizing because the state uses this for political reasons of its own, perhaps to distract the citizenry from the state's own failures or inability to provide for a good standard of living. I find it an interesting cross-cultural study to consider the death of Princess Diana. When Diana died in the car crash, of course, she was with her boyfriend. He is referred to as Dodi, and he was an Egyptian and also a Muslim. So there were conspiracy theories about the death of Diana in the United Kingdom, in the United States, and also in the Middle East, but as you might expect, those conspiracy theories took somewhat different forms. For instance, in the United States, it was one common conspiracy theory that Diana wasn't really dead, but that somehow her death had been staged because she was so tired of the life of celebrity she wanted to go off and be on her own and live on an island somewhere. There are comparable conspiracy theories about Elvis, Jim Morrison, and other celebrities. It seems a lot of people in the Middle East had a more sinister take on the matter. Shortly after the event, there was a poll on the West Bank, and 47% of those polled believed there was some kind of conspiracy behind the death of Dodi and Princess Diana, and typically it was believed that this was just out-and-out murder. The explanations for why this happened tended to relate very closely to the religion of Dodi, namely his Muslim background, and Diana was commonly portrayed as a martyr of Arab love, was the expression. Usually British intelligence was seen as the culprit, and there was a sense that there was a Muslim having some kind of love affair with royalty, and that this had to be stopped, and that therefore a murder was committed, and the murder was backed by a conspiracy. It goes without saying this was not the major conspiracy theory in either the United Kingdom or the United States at the same time. We can speculate about why the Middle East conspiracy theories about Diana might have been different. One would be a sense of projection that maybe there is a belief, justified or not, that this is how Muslim royalty would have behaved if there were a Muslim princess who was having an affair with a Christian man, that maybe it's believed Muslim royalty would have committed some kind of assassination, and that this projection is therefore applied to the United Kingdom and British intelligence. It's also the case in the Middle East that car accidents are a fairly common means of knocking people off, and just a high number of people die in car accidents, so the car accident is maybe more focal there. And the death of Princess Diana and Dodi, it's framed as part of this larger ongoing cultural struggle that probably individuals in the Middle East are more aware of and more cognizant of than would be individuals in the United States or the United Kingdom. On all these issues, I recommend the piece by Daniel Pipes called Diana and Arab Conspiracy. Turkey is another country where conspiracy theories are rife, and indeed on my last visit to Turkey, I was surprised how many of them I heard from different people, and I was spending most of my time in a university community. There's an interesting unpublished master's thesis called Conspiracism in Turkish Politics. What's interesting in this study is it finds how natural talk of conspiracy theories comes when a nation is moving through a democratic transition. Conspiracy theories can be a sign that political discourse is finally opening up, and part of that opening up is a lot of more good discourse, but also a lot of more bad and mistaken discourse too, but that's part of a kind of competitive sifting process through which democracies decide which models of the world they're going to hold on to and which models of the world they're going to reject. This thesis also finds that conspiracy theories flourish just as a source of entertainment. They may even be harmless in some cases. We shouldn't think of them as just pathological, but rather they're something that is part and parcel of the development of a popular culture rising in accordance with democratic discourse. Questions for further thought. How does the internet matter? How does a TV station matter? What's the difference between radio and word of mouth in a village or in an urban area? When and why do conspiracy theories decline? For instance, in the United States, there seem to be plenty of conspiracy theories. They haven't quite gone away, but they've significantly diminished. For instance, the notion that most of professional sports is fixed seems to have been much more popular 30 or 40 years ago than it is today. Theories about how various popes have been involved in conspiracies to rule the world have weakened. The notion that Freemasons were involved in conspiracies is very much weaker. And also belief that one has had encounters with unidentified flying objects, or belief that aliens are somehow controlling our world or about to take it over, those all seem to be areas where belief in conspiracy theories have gone away. We don't quite exactly know why. We shouldn't assume that conspiracy theories are always bad. As mentioned before, sometimes they're just entertainment, and that entertainment may be harmless. It may be a way of processing news and new developments about status relationships in society that actually defuses tension or just gives people a medium to talk about something, maybe indirectly, and allow them to come to terms with it without having to directly face or state out loud what is going on, especially in societies where freedom of speech was previously limited or social tensions may have led to limited discourse. Conspiracy theories may serve some useful purposes. Sometimes conspiracy theories can be interpreted almost as a kind of flattery. They reflect a belief in strong American competence, which maybe isn't warranted, but there's a sense of, we think you're really powerful, so you must be able to do this. And to us, the conspiracy theory sounds quite negative, but there's actually a fair amount of admiration, sometimes undeserved, embedded in the conspiracy theory. So it's a way that people use to recognize, deal with, and come to terms with the fact that the United States is a very powerful player on the world stage. If you're interested in further reading on conspiracy theories, in addition to what's on the previous slides, I would recommend all of the works listed here.